Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember the joy my wife and I had when we first had children, and there in the hospital, we got to see that their eyes opened up for the very first time. And the joy we had as I looked at the little child, three of them, and they looked up at my face, and I thought, aha, wow, they can see me. They're focusing right in on me. And my wife brought me back down to reality a bit and said, well, they can see the contrast of your forehead. It's a little blurry for them yet, but they can tell between the light of your face and the light of your hair. And I thought, oh, wow, they like my hair. Not bad. I like my hair too. No. But the contrast they see, the light and the darkness they see, even though they can't yet get all the details. And then I imagine, what are these little eyes going to see in this world? All the things they're going to see in this lifetime. Wow. Movies. Mickey Mouse. More men on the moon. Or maybe even that new planet, 2012 VP113. One thing they surely will see in this life, good and evil. Beautiful mountains, Washington mudslides, missions to Mars, missing Malaysia Flight 370. God's world, the world that we know and have seen with our own eyes, is a good and evil kind of world. For now, until the heavens come, we can't have one without the other. We must weave and dodge and duck and sometimes must also explain the evil and where it comes from. When Jesus passed by a man born blind from birth, the disciples wanted answers. They wanted to know, who was to blame? Was it his parents? Is it his parents who sinned and therefore God punished them because of the parents' sin? Or was it this man's sin? Did he do something? Did he sin in the womb? Or did God know in advance that he was going to sin a big, horrible sin one day, so he punished him with blindness from birth? But both of these blames have a similar problem. If it's the parents who sinned and God is punishing the child for the sin of the parents, that seems unfair, unjust. Why doesn't God punish the one who sins rather than others? It's only evil people who punish innocent people, right? So it seems a bit unjust that God would allow the sin from the parents to be transferred down to the son. Or, if the child was going to sin but had not yet sinned, then God is punishing them for a sin that's yet to come, and that seems unjust too, as if God is punishing an innocent one for crimes not yet committed. And that doesn't seem fair. It seems unjust. You know, there's been times in my own house where I guess I'm a little guilty of this, if you will. I punished my kids before they did the crime. Clean your room. And later, I punished them anyway, even if they didn't yet clean their room, because I knew that they weren't going to clean their room. So we punish them now before the crime is actually committed. And no one says, that's not right, because they can say, hey, why did you do that? And I explain it. They're like, yeah, you're right. I wasn't going to clean it. They know. But there's a difference, isn't there? For one, there's history. There is a past together of sins that we can say, that's just. It's going to happen anyway. But with the little child who has not yet sinned, that doesn't seem just. Why punish an innocent one? It seems that God is caught, if you will, in this unjust circumstances of punishing a child with no history of actual sin. So either God is to blame for acting unjustly, or else we just don't understand the depth of that decision that Adam and Eve made in the garden long ago. And so the whole creation has been cursed. And we, as we know from Scripture, inherit that sin, do we not? All of us. Whether we commit an act or receive heinous things anyway, we all suffer from the same sin. For some, it's inherited, like the man born blind at birth. For others, it's cancer by age 40. For others, it's a heart attack. For others, a mudslide or murder. Now, there may be a sense of comfort saying, oh, okay, we can blame Adam and Eve and the serpent who got this fiery mess started in the first place. It's their fault. But one thing is for sure. When Jesus is present, and when we ask him about questions about who sinned, the parents or the child, Jesus' answer is very, very clear. Neither. Neither. Where in Jesus' words, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, when Jesus is present, it's not time to search for blame. It's time to believe the purpose for which he has come into the world, that the works of God might be displayed. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I bring light to those who are in darkness, both those in physical darkness, like the man born blind, and those who are in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness, meaning we don't see spiritual things right. Not by nature, not from birth. We need to have eyes opened of our blindness. And that includes all of us who've inherited the image of Adam after he sinned. Having said those things, Jesus spat on the ground, and he made mud with the saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus healed the man through a bath, a washing that opened up his eyes. Not just any bath or pool, but with the water that came from Jesus' mouth, the saliva of the Savior. Jesus personally united himself with the ground and with through that water and gave that man a gift by carrying that burden of sin away. In order that Jesus may take that burden away and bury it with himself in his own vicarious death. Our burdens, like the blind man's, are also buried with Jesus. What if I told you today that you no longer need to blame yourself for any of your sins, past, present, or future? What if I told you Jesus took the burden of sin and blame away in your baptism? Jesus united himself to you personally in that water and united the same way to the blind man personally in that washing. And the man came back seeing. What did he see? Everything. Including the man who took away the burden of sin and the blame, took away his blindness. So the question is, what do you see? Do you see Jesus as the one who already took away your blame and your burdens in your baptism? You should. It sure helps you live in a world of good and evil, seeing that evil has already had the light of Christ shine upon it, and everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible. Therefore, it says in our epistle today, arise, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ, the light, will shine on you. Sin and death have been defeated in the light of Christ's victorious death and resurrection. And we now walk as children of the light. Baptism brought us the light of Christ. Brought that same light of Christ to Megan and to Nicholas today. They now walk as children of the light. The blame and guilt of sin is no longer theirs. It belongs to Christ. Jesus also gave them seeing eyes to behold the light of Jesus' resurrection, and that he is now present in their life. And he is the present that they have to share with others. The power and the present to forgive other sins. The power and the presence to see all things. The power and the presence to rise from the dead. The power and the presence to see God face to face. And the kingdom of heaven, when we see all things, even those things hidden before the foundation of the world. In our gospel today, a blind man received sight, a miracle. But I'm pretty sure that the whole point was not just, wow, he was blind and now he sees. But rather, that in this miraculous washing, we all receive sight and no longer walk in darkness, while the one who is the light is with us. While those who think they see without Jesus are blind. Therefore, remember who you are. Remember your baptism always. And walk as children of the light. For Christ is your light and your life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the light. Amen.